What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
It's a fascinating craft that's been shaping metal in history for centuries. The work of a blacksmith. Tom King, known as Ungawa, blacksmith of the Boyne Valley in Meath, is with me here in studio today. Good afternoon, Tom. How are things?
Good afternoon, Andrea. A pleasure to be here. Yeah. Good afternoon to your audience.
You've an amazing setup between all of the gear you've with you, a sheepskin scarf like I've never seen before in my life. This is the attire of a blacksmith,
yeah,
is it?
Absolutely. I mean, Ungawa represents the ancient world, the ancient East, the mythical past, an ancient Ireland, cultural past. If we can think about all the sites, the ancient Newgrange, the Hill of Tara, the Hill of Ward, the Hill of Fohan, the Hill of Slane, Knowth and Doubt, Four Knocks and Loch Crew, ancient sites of ancient Ireland, including the Hill of Uisneach, might I say, with our friends there at the Uisneach Centre. So when we think of the ancient past, when my guests come to the Forge, I always talk of, let's not forget the people of the past also.
Yeah.
So it's very important that, you know, these sites and monuments were built for the people, by the people. So my context or my angle is, I'm actually a design engineer by trade, but because of the lockdown, because of the COVID, I took a phone call from HR, Tom, please stay at home until further notice. That was opportunity. I started working on my artwork, pushing on the Instagrams and the Facebooks, you know, and all of a sudden this substantial kind of return on the order from what I do as an ironworker started making
totally
hay.
Changed,
it
yeah.
was just a game changer.
And it's funny when you say that, because when people think of the work of a blacksmith,
yes,
they probably don't necessarily think of artist as well. But
absolutely,
there's a lot of skill and creativity involved in
it.
So what exactly does a blacksmith do then? Because there's different areas.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a blacksmith will take an iron or a metal and convert it from a raw material, bringing it to a product, whether it be a functional piece or an artistic expression or, you know, basically shaping metal in an artistic expression. Yeah. Now, I mean, for my own personal journey, I mean, for 2022, when the government announced a national holiday for St. Bridget's Day, I had the gears in motion and what I was going to do for 2023 when I arrived at Showcase. And I generated a St. Bridget's Cross in context for St. Bridget's Day and ended up becoming the overall winner.
Wow.
So that was a substantial, you know, it was a business strategy too in your placement of your product 6 months before Showcase. And then you get at your artist or your blacksmith work and all of a sudden you go to Showcase, you go to RDS.
How did you, or what inspired you to become a blacksmith?
I've been blessed with gifted hands and a great artist, a great mechanical empathizer, shall we say. So I've been very innovative since a child.
Right.
So I'm always inventing, always creating, always rooting, always tinkering at stuff. And I always loved that. So I you know, as a design engineer, there's about 19 years as a senior design engineer. So that was kind of my bread and butter up until the lockdown. And then during the lockdown, I remember saving a post about 30 years ago by the great Judge Judy on Instagram. And Judge Judy says, you know, the most important thing in life is to find what you're strongest at.
Yeah,
the second most important thing, find a way to make a living out of it. Now, finding what I was strongest at was never a problem. Finding a way to make a living out of it, it took the COVID to give me that kick in the backside to get going.
The
and all of a sudden, I mean, it's just been incredible.
So talk us through the typical process of making something then as a blacksmith from kind of start to finish.
Absolutely. So what I will do now, first thing, I will establish the forge. I will get the fire lit. I'll have the embers in a certain, you know, orientation where I'm happy with the temperature within the forge itself. So once I have the fire lit, I have the forge, you know, up and running, and I'm happy with the fire, shall we say, before I start presenting the metal or the iron to the fire before I begin work. So once I get the iron into the fire, there's a certain time period until it gets to a certain temperature. And then I know when to take it out from the fire. I know then when I can move to the anvil and start ultimately working it, drawing it out or tapering or whatever might be involved.
What sort of temperatures are we talking about?
We're talking 900, maybe 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 degrees, depending on what work I'm working on. If it was Damascus steel, if it was forge welding. But most of my work now is just mild steel, draw to taper, spirals, triskels, penannular brooches. Again, much of the iron that's of the ancient world, including the swords and the spears and the shields.
You've one of which you seem to have here with you today.
Just in case
right?
things got out of hand here, I bought the sword and the shield, so I have to protect the clans.
Yeah.
Protect the News Talk Tua.
So this is the kind of thing you're making, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Emerald
yeah,
Park were very
machine.
Good to me last year there in the context. There was an order put in for Ungava there to supply much of the prop work for the Tiernan Og ride.
Oh,
so there
yeah,
were 70
brilliant.
Shields, 70 spears, 30 swords, yeah. 120 arrows and 15 bows. So that was an incredible order. So that was really exciting back then.
So for you that's working in this area,
yeah.
Tom, what do you get from it beyond the, leave the financial, right,
okay.
and the business stuff to one
yeah.
side? Like,
yeah.
For you, what's the personal benefit or mental benefit?
Yeah,
of this?
Since I was a child, like, I mean, when we talk about the Celtic ancient past, our cultural identity, the hair on the back of your neck would start to rise up. So that's a connection with the ancient world. And I'm so passionate about, you know, keeping this craft alive, albeit by bringing, you know, guests to the forge so they can immerse themselves. Because when I say to my guests, what has changed with fire in 6,000 years? Absolutely nothing. So when you bring fire into your forge and theatricalize,
this is your workshop
this
for
is
people
the forge,
can come
yeah,
to see it.
Yeah. So I mean, like when we talk about, we're beside the gaiety here, for example, can you imagine just talking about the theatre and the pantomime and how these people can so naturally talk about laughter and fun and story and costume and everything associated with that? For me, it's like the people of the past. When I say to my guests, how good were the ancient warriors of ancient Ireland? Only as good as the people who supported them. So when you think of the iron worker, the bladesmith, the spear maker, the shield maker, that had to be good kit. Or you lost all confidence in the twos of the clans. So to try and protect the high kings and high queens of Tara, you got to be, you know, generating good product. And that's exactly what Ungava does. It's a story of the past.
Okay. What's the most challenging part of your work as a blacksmith?
It's actually overwhelmed at the minute because of the orders that's actually sitting there, or the potential.
So people
and opportunity.
Are reconnecting then, obviously, with
Without
this. They
a
want
doubt. There's no doubt about
a
that.
Little bit of ancient Ireland in
There's
their
no
home.
Doubt. I mean, you know, I could have three or four tours a week there, and most of my tours would be international. But we have our locals, our people that travel up the country as well, coming to, you know, the Boyne Valley, coming to Bohemian. Like, it's a significantly interesting part of the Boyne Valley where we have a corridor on the farm that Queen Maeve actually used, the Slieve Ashel corridor, coming all the way from Sligo. So we know Queen Maeve and her Tua, you know, spending 5 weeks on the back of her horse, coming from Sligo, heading to Tara for sacred ceremony. It could be any of the Imbolcs, the Bealtainas, the Lunases, the Samhains. I mean, next week, we'll all climb to the top of Loch Crew to celebrate the equinox, you know. So that's fascinating.
When you talk about, you know, getting the forge ready and making, you know, the different materials
yes.
or different things that you're actually creating,
yeah.
Where does sort of the health and safety aspect come into this? Or does it? Like, what kind of safety precautions do you have?
It's absolutely critical. It's the most important aspect. Because if I put myself at risk, I'm no longer able to provide for myself and my family. I'm injured. And I can't afford to be injured. So there's no doubt about that. Safety and, you know, everything in the context of, you know, personal safety, looking after yourself, looking after your guests, top priority. Absolutely critical.
Listener wondering, Tom, today, what's the difference between forging and welding?
Well, forging is drawing out. So if we get a piece of iron hot, we can forge it, we can manipulate it or move it and, you know, reshape it. With welding, it's almost like a glorified super glue in the context of using it's metal. So it's like a metal super glue. So you got to, when you weld, you fuse, you join, you create a joint between two bodies or whatever it is. With forging, you know, you draw out or you manipulate the shape. If I say draw to taper, I take a standard piece of stock and I can draw that to taper, which ultimately increases the length of it.
And just a follow up to that, how does that differ from casting?
Well,
what is that actually?
Well, casting is like, if you can imagine a great big urn full of a liquid metal.
Yeah, okay.
So we have a mould or a pattern and the metal is in a liquid state and we pour this ladle into the pattern, allows to cool, crack open the pattern and there's your item, whatever,
yeah, whatever
it may
it
be.
Is. Actually, on that, because I know you mentioned for St. Bridget's Bank Holiday weekend and making the Bridget's Cross, what typically tends to make, you know, a good design or a nice style piece?
Well,
where do you get inspiration from?
You have to kind of listen to your customer. Like, for example, if we went to the National Museum and we had a couple of hours there and we're looking at this incredible facility, we're looking behind glass and we're looking at the ornaments and the artefacts of an ancient Ireland. Think for example, the Tara brooch. And if you look at that in the context of how sophisticated, how elaborate, but yet this is thousands of years old. Now, if you can imagine how that originated from the early designs right through to, you know, this most beautiful piece of Irish, you know, historical artefact, that's the inspiration. The same if we can think of Lee McCarthy Cup, we can think of the Sam Maguire. So that has that type of precedent, as they say, you know, so it has the story. And that's something to aspire to, because when you work your hands and make things, as an artist, you can certainly appreciate an idea, a raw material, and then the process of making, and ultimately presenting it to your audience and your guests. And then again, like for example, the RDS and Showcase, to get the reward, it's just incredible. It's so rewarding.
Is it, you know, the work of a blacksmith, is it hard to learn? Is it something you tend to be sort of born with?
It's like everything in life. If you have the right attitude, and if you have the right support and the right encouragement, anything is possible. It all depends on what you want to do. And like, there's an old saying in the blacksmith world, to make one leaf keyring, make one, now make 50, and critique number one to number 50 and look at the difference. When you reach to number 50, you're now thinking of how many heats it took to generate that. Whereas number one, you're only establishing what side of the hammer to use.
It's very interesting, to, you know, I can even see from messages coming in as well, you know, people may be reconnecting with
a lot of our
ancient
Without
past
a doubt.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Looking to learn that.
We're so blessed, you see. I mean, when you think about it, if we look at Dublin Airport and the footfall coming in every week, coming from all over the world, coming into Ireland, how many of those people landing in Dublin Airport are heading to the Boyne Valley? How many are going to the Wild Atlantic Way? Where are their destinations? And when people come to the Boyne Valley and they submerge themselves in that ancient world, to be overwhelmed with the Hill of Tara, the Hill of Slane, all the sites and monuments, to listen to the great storytellers of Anthony Murphy of Mythical Ireland. We have our friends in OPW and many people who, you know, get that enjoyment of telling the story of the past. Well, Ungawal will bring the story to life. And that's the whole idea. Because if you think about Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, we have our very own ancient story and we're standing on it. It's the very ground we walk on.
It's a huge tourist attraction, no question about that.
Yeah.
Ungawal, Tom King. Tom, thanks a million for joining us here today on Lunchtime Live. Tom, of course, blacksmith of the Boyne Valley in Meath. If you want to find more from Tom, where can people get you?
Find me on Instagram. It's on_Gawa. More than happy to have anyone come into my world and enjoy. They're very welcome out for experience.
Tom, you're very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us here on the programme. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.